Today on Real Radio.
I want you to look at verse 6, until the day breaks. Do you know what that means? It means that this husband and wife, they had been up all night with each other.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible, a collection of topical studies taken from the numerous scripture passages that teach us and give us examples of how to live as believers in an unbelieving world. Our teacher continues in his mini-series called Being a Christian in Your Home. Now, we do need to mention that there are issues of marriage being discussed in this study. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Then you need to be asking the Lord, Lord, govern over my eyes. Protect me. Because how I look, where I look with my eyes matters. It's going to go right into your heart. And again, as I said, we live in a culture and in a time that says that throw off all restraint. Do whatever feels good. You ever heard that before? If it feels good, do it. And we live in a culture that has taken what God has engineered, relationships and marriage and sex and all these things that God has made, and the world has reinterpreted for us, and then they spin it, and you and I get bombarded with it on every angle of our lives. What we hear and what we see, from the billboards to the commercials on TV to the ridiculous programs. And if you entertain that stuff, and listen, I'm not just picking on the ladies here. If a man is looking at this stuff, it's ridiculous, equally ridiculously nuts. And that is so many of these soap opera things. It's all about she's flirting with him and lusting after the other and cheating on them. And it sounds like I'm describing a country western song, aren't I? It all sounds the same, looks the same like that. You need to be very, very careful about that. Because it leads to a dead end. Why? Because in your mind you begin to think, you may not think so at first, but in your mind you begin to think, well, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. Because as it beats on us in this culture of, you know what, it's a gray line. It's not a fine line. It's a gray line. That in your life, if you begin to become promiscuous and you tolerate things in your life and you come to church on Sunday, you got a Bible, but you know what? You know, I just dabble, you know, with a little bit of sex in this area or a little bit of this in that area. And you know, I'm sure God will forgive me. You need to be careful about that. The Bible says to flee from all appearances by the way of sin. The Bible says to run when we're tempted, to run like Joseph ran. We need to be so, so absolutely careful. Why? Because the scriptures warn us that sexual sin messes with our head. It messes with our soul. And that is a tremendous thing. Now, follow along with me. This is where we ended last time. Song of Solomon, remember? Chapter 4, you can follow along. Turn there if you would. Chapter 4, verse 1. While you turn there, all you husbands, any husbands in here, raise your hands, your husbands. Okay. This is the way the husband's supposed to talk to his wife. Hey, wives, listen up. You need to mark this. You need to train your man how to talk to you. Now, remember, this is 3,000 years old, so we can kind of change it a little bit and now get control of yourself here. Don't laugh here and get funny. Chapter 4, verse 1. Behold, he says, remember, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like the flock of goats. We explained that in depth last time. Going down from Mount Gilead. That means her hair is beautifully wavy. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep. That means they're really super white. which have come up from the washing. Every one of them bears twins, and none of them is barren among them. She's got all of her teeth. She's looking good. Listen to this. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet. I don't know about you, but that's pretty awesome stuff. Listen, that means he's looking at her lips. Hello? That's one of the most sensual things ever. It's quiet in here now. You guys are paying attention. This is good. He's looking at her lips. Maybe she's talking, or maybe she's just standing there, or maybe he's just remembering. And he said, man, your lips are like a strand of scarlet. That's pretty awesome. He's complimenting her. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies. Verse 6, listen to this. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. This guy's in love. Solomon is in love with her. When you're in love with somebody, do you see spots on them? Let me tell you something. If somebody says, oh, I love you, but man, you know what? I don't dig that freckle right there. If you could do something with that freckle, then we got a future. Then they don't love you. Something's weird there. Something's wrong. The old saying, love is blind. There's a lot of truth to that. That's the grace of God. I mean, look at us. I mean, you look good. But there's an amazing thing here that Solomon is teaching and speaking to us. And God has seen fit to preserve this for us today. He says in verse 8, come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana. And from, he lists these regions of, in fact, one of my favorite in Hermon, beautiful snow-capped mountain. From the lion's dens, from the mountains of leopards, he describes this. Look at verse 9. You have ravaged my heart, my sister, my spouse. The sister's a reference to our faith. We believe in the same God. We are one. Listen, my spouse, you have ravaged my heart. Here it is. With what? With one look of your eyes. I want you to look at verse 6, until the day breaks. Do you know what that means? Hang on to your seats. It means that this husband and wife, they had been up all night with each other. I think that's pretty awesome. They're absolutely in love. Man, I don't know. He loved me, but now we got married and all that fun stuff's over. That's not good. You need to make sure that, as we talked about last time, that you date your husband and your wife all the way through the engagement, through the marriage, and for the rest of their lives. You need to keep it going. Those of you who are married, those of you who are single, do not listen to what I'm going to say right now. You're not allowed to hear this. Those of you who are married, listen. Go out and buy a book. It's a Christian book. It's a Christian book, but only married people ought to buy it. It's called Sheet Music. And let me tell you, don't read it unless you have some time. Because it is written by a Christian to Christians about the God who created marriage in the environment of sexual pleasure. It's absolutely amazing. Solomon would have said, I like the book. It's very, very amazing. What gives in a marriage? In this sense, you and I do, whenever we think. Will you jot that down? How we think. As Christians, we're fighting, as I mentioned, a constant battle against the forces of lust and immorality in this life, in this world, with all the things that are pressing against us, and our marriage and our relationships are under attack. There's a crisis in the home today, and I'm not talking financial. Listen, it's time for husbands to become men who protect and cover their wives. Christian men tonight, you need to make sure that you are protecting your wife. See, Jack, how do I do that? I want you, this is your homework if you're married. And you can do this if you're engaged. put your arms around your wife or your wife-to-be, and you pray over her. Lord, protect her. Lord, keep her pure. Lord, make us strong. Don't let us fall. If you're single, don't let us fall. Don't let us cross that line. But listen, husbands, cover your wives in prayer, because listen, the moment your wife leaves the house, there's a whole world of men out there. And all it takes is one to ruin your home. It's time for wives to create and to display a home, perhaps, that is, or even a bedroom, perhaps, that invites her husband home. These things we need to be careful about. I've shared with you guys before in Sunday message a long time ago about model homes. Lisa and I love to go look at model homes and how clean and perfect they are. The only thing is nobody lives in them. And the fruit is fake. It's all wax. Nothing's real. It looks good, but nothing's real. And life, listen, life comes by, looks like life, looks fantastic. And it's got all of this allurement. Hey, come be with me. It may not be a model home, but maybe it's a model guy or a model girl. And wow, look at that. Oh, no, 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 don't look at that. You want to grab your eyes and turn away. Why? Because that's how the enemy enters in, begins to play with our minds, begins to affect the way that we think. Listen to what Solomon said in Proverbs 5, verse 15, to his son. Solomon was a pretty cool dad, I take it. Listen to this. Mom and dad, listen up. You have kids? Listen to this. Do you have sons? Listen to this. I got to warn you. God has given us imagination. Okay? Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Listen to this. Proverbs 5, 15. Drink water from your own cistern. Cistern, that's a well of water. In other words, don't go drink water at someone else's well. You know what I'm talking about? And running water from your own well. Should your fountain be dispersed abroad? You know what I'm talking about? Streams of water in the streets. He said, don't do that. Let them be only your own and not for strangers. Wow. Let your fountain be blessed. This is God speaking to us through Solomon. And he's telling this to his son. Hey, son, I want your fountain blessed. Okay, Dad. Right on. And rejoice with the wife of your youth. Is that awesome? We're not going to look at what the word rejoice means. You can look at it later. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you always at all times, and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? Mom and dad, you got kids? Have you sat down and told them what's up and what's not and which way to go and where to stay out of? Listen, this is a dangerous thing. We'll cover this in some weeks ahead, but this is a big deal. Have you sat down to tell your young kids about the birds and the bees? Watch this. Most Christian parents, no, we don't talk about that. We're Christians. Oh, that's brilliant. So you're going to let the public school system tell them about it. Because that's exactly what's going on. Who's going to listen, in this world, if your kid's 12 or 13 years of age, they probably already know it. Oh, no, not my kid, especially your kid. If you're saying, not my kid, probably your kid for sure. Why? It's not because your kid's bad or you're bad. It's because this world is wicked and innocence is under attack. Mom and dad, listen, I don't know what you got to do, but dad, take your son out on a drive. Go to a baseball game. I don't care what it is. Take a hike. Go up the mountain and say, son, here's the deal. This is what we're going to talk about. And I got to tell you know what? About 5 minutes into it, you're going to turn every shade of red under the sun. And then once it's over, it's great. And your son will think, I mean, I can talk to my dad about anything. You'll be a hero. Won't feel like it at that moment, but Wow! But don't be surprised. And listen, if you say, son, and we need to talk about something, and then here's the deal. Have you ever thought about where babies come from? Listen, he'll probably say, Dad, I already know all this. Okay, then if you already know all this, then let's run through it one more time, but let me add this to it. This is a spiritual situation we're talking about when God engineered sex. It is created by God. And we get this thing in our minds, well, we're Christians, we can't talk about that. Are you kidding me? Our God made it. We need to get it back from the world that's abused it and ruined it. God did this. Don't you Christians only have sex when you're going to have a kid? I mean, right? And then even then, what? No. Number one thing, God created sex for pleasure. Number two, for propagation. Pleasure first, kids later. God made it that way. We get this bizarre thinking, this Puritan type of thinking that, well, nope, nope. No, God says yes, yes. In the area of marriage. But how we think really, really matters. And Solomon is warning his son. Son, stay away from the seductress. And there are people, listen, there are people in this world. They may not even understand it themselves, but because you're a Christian, you are an enemy to the kingdom of darkness. Satan can't stand you, hates you, wants to see your life destroyed. There's people that you know. There's people at the company you work at or on your street. There's people, maybe there's people that you know somehow, some way, that they have thoughts about being with you, and they don't even care. It's all about themselves being satisfied, but what's the end result? Your life's destroyed. Oh, they're just flirting. Are you kidding? And you've all seen that happen. I've seen it happen. Working at a corporation for 13 years, I remember I was sitting in my cubicle. I'll never forget it. I'm not going to say their names. I remember their names because of what I heard. This girl came up to the guy that's in the cubicle next to mine, and she said, you know what? Please forgive me. I just find you so incredibly attractive because you are such a hard worker. And I really respect that. I find that irresistible. Sorry. Bye. Okay, I don't know what her motive was. Maybe you ladies do. But I know this. He's ruined. Because guess what he's thinking now? Every time he sees her, guess what? It wasn't long till they were together. She was single, and he was married. We've all seen it. How does it start? By what's lodged in our minds and how we think, what's in there. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God. A lot of Christians get suited up and they run out of the house, but they forget to put their helmet on. All these thoughts get shoved into our heads and dangled in front of us. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery of Satan. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That would be easy. I'm not much of a wrestler. But I think guns are cool. I'm a Second Amendment guy. I think guns are cool. George Washington and I would have gotten along just fine. And if you think I'm a weirdo, you should see my daughters shoot guns. They're really good at shooting guns. And so don't mess with my daughters because they can shoot guns. But it would be easy if you could shoot your enemy. But we can't do that. Our enemy is supernatural. You can launch a nuclear device against Satan. He's still standing there after the big flash. You and I as Christians, we wrestle against powers that are invisible. And you cannot see. And the Bible says that we need to be very careful about that and that we need to bring these powers that come against us into the sights as we use God's words against the enemy. I mentioned, and this is the book of the month, Stormy O'Mardian's book, The Power of a Praying Husband. She says in that book that she interviewed thousands of women who said that for them, sex begins hours, if not a day or more, before anything physical ever takes place. Now listen, us guys are going, what? She says in the book, sex for women, she's speaking on behalf of women who've responded to her interview that it begins days in advance, hours, days in advance. Where does it begin? Ladies, help me out. Where does it begin? In the mind. Thinking, thoughts, that's how powerful things are. We need to be very, very careful. In the same token, are you married? Yep. Then listen, husband, put thoughts in her head. Come on. Put those thoughts there. Both of you, husband and wife, ought to be putting thoughts there. Hey, what time will you be home tonight? What's the, why? Well, you know, I don't know. Why are you asking? I just thought, you know what? The kids are gone, or the, you know, what do you think? And some people have their little clues, their little things, you know, like maybe it's the night. Look, it's the night. No. And some couples have actually developed clues. I'm not joking about this. And I've heard some couples say, you know what, we brush our teeth. That's one of the indicators. Because it's kind of hard to just walk up and say, hey, you know what? It's pretty quiet around here. You want to? You can't do that. That's not putting it in the mind. That's not. Notice, Solomon, your lips are like a strand of scarlet. Now, that could be a clue. You call your wife tomorrow while she's at work and say, you know what? Were you at this, you know the study last night? Yeah. Well, your lips are like a strand of scarlet. I'm reading you loud and clear. But you can say things like this. You looked really great this morning when you went to work, and I can't wait to see you tonight. Start speaking and putting things into her head. And listen, those of you who are engaged, you know, you got to be careful how you say these things. So you don't start some sort of fire going on there, because you got to put this in your pocket. But as a single man who is dating a girl and you're getting very serious, when you say, you know what, you look beautiful tonight, you can understand something. Her heart jumps when you say that. Women love to look beautiful. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, you know that famous statement of his? Dr. J. Vernon McGee, you guys know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
He's the still most listened to Bible teacher in the entire world. Dr. J. Vernon McGee says that as husband and wife, when you come together, when you come home at night from work and see one another and greet one another, he says you need to make sure that you refresh yourself and look nice. I praise the Lord. Lisa, all our lives, Lisa has always refreshed herself before I've gotten home. It's just beautiful. It speaks volumes to me. She makes sure that her hair is all done up and she looks all nice every day. It's amazing. J. Vernon McGee said this. He said, listen, ladies, he said, somebody had wrote him. She knew, my husband wants me to wear makeup. And what do you say about that, Dr. McGee? And he said, hey, lady, listen, if the barn needs painting, paint it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a series within a series called Being a Christian in Your Home. We mention that it's a series within a series because it's part of the collection of studies called Life and the Bible, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this is a series our teacher recently concluded, and it's available for purchase on either CD or DVD. You can visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. And whether you call, click, or write, just be sure and mention it by title, The Life and the Bible Series. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.